The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You took my hands, Jesus. You led me to the rock.
You led me to the rock.
You brought me to this place. Yes.
The place you are.
The secret place.
The secret place.
Hallelujah. You know, that's how to sing. That's how to sing. You don't sing and your brain is distracted from what they are singing. I know many of you know this song. You know how it was done and you were expecting to be sung in a particular way. But you cannot be learning something from God's word, teaching something else, and singing something else. Our learning, our teaching, our singing must agree. That's the strength of a solid teaching ministry. That's the strength of a knowledgeable person. That's the proof that we're knowledgeable. There are people that when you hear them sing, you will not believe the things that come out from their mouth. So while we appreciate and acknowledge the people that did this song, the writers of the song, and we know they wrote at the level of their revelation, we shouldn't sing at that level too. Are you following me? There are many great hymns, right, that are beautiful, but there are some lines that when you read, you just know that, okay, these people are singing at the level, right at the level that they know and understand. Now, that doesn't call for dishonor, right? That doesn't call for you insulting or looking down on people that did the song. But it doesn't, honor doesn't also mean that you do what they're doing. For instance, you honor your parents, and you should honor your parents, honor every elderly person. But if people mix, if an elderly person mixes poison inside food, and you show there is poison inside, honor doesn't mean you should eat it. Honor means you should honorably not eat it. Are you following me now? Honorably. So I have nothing against people that sing, that sang those songs. Sorry, but we can't sing them. At least not as they, not the way they did. Because God is not about to take us to anywhere. He has brought us to the place. The Bible says we are seated with Him now. You remember that? We are seated with Him. And it's a reality we need to acknowledge. You know, one thing you should be careful about, and that's why we are doing these teachings. One thing you should be careful about is any teaching, now, hear this, any teaching that always keeps the believer at a place where he's always fighting to reach a certain height is a dangerous teaching. Sometimes it is taught from a place of pure intentions, but the results are always very terrible because you will never believe that you've reached. And whenever you think you're doing well, they raise the bar. Have you observed? They raise the bar. Now, I teach prayer, and I teach people should pray for long. But you begin to hear things like, you've not prayed for 30 minutes, you've not prayed for 45 minutes. You want to, you know, I had a man of God, he was joking with that. He said, they can tell you, you know, you can be fasting. If you want to see an angel, fast for 7 days. If you want to start seeing blue angels, fast for 14 days. Because blue angels are scarce. You know that kind of thing. And they always raise it to, you always feel like that is something you don't have. So you're always fighting to become something. That's not the life God invited us to. That sounds to me like what a serpent will do in the garden. Looking at man and saying to man, you're not in God's image, but if you eat this, you will not become in God's image. That sounds like this happens. So there are pure intentions, but don't always be looking for. Of course, I'm not saying, now hear this, and this is important. I'm not saying there's nothing like spiritual growth. There is. But spiritual growth is not you. How do I put this now? Let me give an example. Growing in faith, which we're going to look at today, growing in faith is different from your faith growing. Not the same thing. Growing in the spirit is not the same thing as the spirit growing. The spirit is perfect, but you can grow in the spirit. Now, are you following what I'm saying? So growing in the spirit will be you knowing how to use and walk with the spirit and cooperate with the spirit. That's spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not an attempt to become anything or to get where you've not been to. There is no higher place a believer will ever get to. In Christ is the highest place you can ever get to. In Christ Jesus. That's the highest place. So you see why I have issues with statements like ascend. All those kind of things. I have a little challenge with them. Ascend. And the question is to where? Most times that ascending, whatever, is a mind thing. I feel what I'm saying. It's a mind thing because you are actually not going anywhere. It's just that when music is heating up or when prayer is heating up, you just feel like, I know the feeling. All of us, have you felt it? When prayer is heating up, it just looks like, in a bago. To wherever that is. It's a feeling. But you will never find the apostles use that term. You will not find it. And let me tell you, one of the safest way, one of the easiest ways to be safe with doctrine is to use the apostles' terms. Use their terminologies. If they used spiritual growth, use it. They used grow in grace, use it. Let them not use grow in grace and you are using any other term. Before you know, it begins to sound, there are many things. I have read a few materials and I can tell you, most of the things we practice as Christianity, it's not really pure. It's not really pure. Must be very careful. And let me even say this. This is not my teaching today. But be careful about extremes. You know, if you're at LMP, were you at LMP? That was the first teaching I did at LMP. Be careful about extremes. Getting to extremes. Every teaching can have an extreme. Remember I told you that? The teaching of grace is a sound teaching. Very sound. But it can have an extreme. The extreme of that grace is licentiousness. The teaching of consecration is a sound teaching. But there's an extreme. The extreme is legalism. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I was very careful. Now, let me talk about this. So, even though let's ascend. I'm not going to say that sometimes you pray, you don't feel whatever. Yes, you can pray and feel stuff. But we cannot base our lives on that feeling. And make it look like we're going somewhere. You know, I was talking to someone. This is another matter. I was talking to someone about chanting. Because I was like, why don't you guys chant in church? So I said, what is chanting? Are you following me? You know that, that kind of thing. Say, do you have anything against it? So I smiled. And let me tell you. He's talking about extremes. I'm not doubting that there are songs you will sing to a point. Or sometimes you can even pray to a point. And you start making sounds you really don't recognize. That can happen. Are you aware? It happens to all of us. You can be praying now. You can be singing in tongues just for yourself, saying, hey, it can happen. Those can happen. You can even be singing a certain song and the part of that doing, oh, that's okay. Do you get the point? But there's an extreme. Where I come to worship and for like 1 hour, all I'm doing is, that is not, so what are you singing? What exactly are you saying? Because I feel what I'm saying now. What are we? I was asking someone. Let's assume that all David did in his days was chanting. How are we going to have the book of Psalm? If what the early fathers did was chanting, how are we going to have those S's and S, sacred song and solos? You know what I'm talking about? Imagine the lives of Charles Wesley. You know, he wrote many of the hymns we sing today. When we came to sing, he just can say, instead of singing, let me use a hymn. Instead of singing, what a friend we have. Everybody's playing. Shaka. What's that? So, what do we pass on to the next generation? What I'm saying is this. Emotionalism is not spirituality. It's not. Sensationalism is not spirituality. It's not. That is not spirituality. It's a look-alike of spirituality. It's not it. I get what I'm saying now. So you must be very careful to know where to draw the line. Just like what I was teaching yesterday, I was just meditating when I went to yesterday. I'm meditating on some of the things we were sharing. Father, some of us live life like beggars. Even in the songs we sing like beggars. There are some meetings that I have, and because I see the audience, I can sing certain songs. But there are not songs that show up in my prayer life. Some people, you know, let me give an example of some of this. Let me use an Igbo song now. I sing it a few times. Nagi ko bim dabere. You know that song? Nagi ko bim dabere. Okwara chineke. You know that, God, I beg, let me not be put to shame. That's not how a solid believer prays. Are you getting the point? That's a beggarly kind of prayer. God, don't let me be put to shame. Was God about to put you to shame? I feel what I'm saying. Emotionalism is not spiritual. And the problem is that if I raise that song, you will cry. Every time you hear me raise any song like that, because I know we deal with a mixed audience, sometimes we have this like evening of answers, where we bring in a lot of people that are sick, people are at different levels, and I know God wants to meet everybody at different levels. I feel what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about, extremes. God wants to meet everybody at different levels. But normally, you can't come to my prayer life, maybe sneaking on me praying, and you hear me saying, You can't catch me doing that. God cannot put me to shame. It's not a prayer. He won't put me to shame. It's not possible. You know what it means? God, don't let me fall. The Bible said unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The one unable to keep you from falling, ask him, Ekwela kamda is what song? So some of those emotional things is not spirituality in any way. But sometimes just to help people at their different levels, you know. Say amen. So I'm always careful. I'm saying it because of this song. It's a very beautiful song. But I was happy they did it that way. While I was already coming up and I was hearing the song flowing, now I was already getting set that today is going to be hot. But I was like, if this guy sing this song wrongly, this church is going to shut down. As I was coming, I was just saying that. As I was coming up, I was already looking at if the greeters, I was looking at my face somehow. I was just saying, let me hear what these guys are singing. But that's beautiful. That's good. You get it, but it's not about being emotional. Because those songs, once you're singing, makes you look like going somewhere. Take me to the place. Now, the question is, when are you going to get there? Do you believe God answers prayer? So when will he answer that prayer you are praying? You prayed it last week. Have you not gotten there? Or you came out? Let me tell you the answer, the religious answer. There's always somewhere higher. That's the religious answer. Now I know it. See, you think you've gotten somewhere, but there's somewhere higher. There's a deeper place. In Christ is that deeper place. He that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of them. That's even Old Testament. And he had that revelation. You are trying to go to where nobody sent you. And sometimes we talk as though the Old Testament sends, you know, he say you want to get to Elijah's level. You don't need to get to Elijah's level. You don't need to get to Moses. Moses wants to get to your level. Do you know what I'm saying now? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets, give me that verse because I don't even know what's bringing me to all this talk now. But let's just see. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So the prophets of old prophesied and we are searching. Now verse 11, he says, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that followed. Give me like, go to previous verse. Give me like NLT or Amplified Classic, any of them. Verse 10. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation. So when the prophets are prophesying about salvation, when Isaiah prophesied, when Jeremiah prophesied, they wanted to know more about it. But look at verse 11. Verse 11 said, they wondered what time or situation that the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and great glory afterwards. Now, see verse 12. This is where I'm going to. Verse 12 said, they were told that their messages was not for themselves, but for you. So this thing you enjoy now, the prophets were prophesying and looking forward to it. But they were told, no, it's not for you. So Isaiah looked forward to this day, but he didn't have it. You are now having it, and you are wishing to go to where Isaiah was. Now that's not spirituality. That's not spirituality. And when people hear us talk this way, they think we are talking. I'm not talking about prayer. I pray. I'm not talking about fasting. I live a fasted life. If you come to my house, the first thing you're going to notice is that they don't eat breakfast. They don't eat lunch. Sometimes the first meal is 4 o'clock, 3 p.m. Even others are eating, they know it's not me. So almost everybody in the house has already adjusted to it. That's the days we are not fasting. I get the point. Days we are not fasting. There is food. Don't worry. We have money. So I'm not talking that one fasting or prayer, but I'm not trying to ascend to anywhere. I am not ascending to nowhere, and you are not. It's a feeling. And maybe after praying that prayer, you say, Pastor, I ascended once. When I ascended, I cast out the devil. It's okay. The question is, what if you meet a devil on the day you do not ascend? What are you going to do on that day? You ask the devil, hold on, I'll be back. After I ascend, you will see me. We are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You should know it. God has brought us to that place. When we read the Bible, what are we doing? We are learning more of where we are. When we pray, prayer even brings us revelation to know more about what God has done for us. Are you getting the point? So you will learn today, we're going to get to that today. You will learn today that prayer is not a way to get power. It's a way to release power. So that's why James 5 tells us in verse 16. You know, if you read with the Amplified Classic, James 5 from verse 16. Thank you, Lord. He said, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be, watch this, healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The last part of it, what does it say? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. What does he do? So he makes power available. He doesn't bring power. So what do you mean by make power available? Where is the power coming from? Well, the power is already resident on your inside. How do you know that? Ephesians 3 verse 20 tells us. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Say, unto you that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works. So there's already a power working inside of you. So when you now pray, you are releasing power. You are not getting power. Are you following me? So you understand. Some of you are wondering, why are they singing that song? Why are they changing the song? That's why we change it. That's why you cannot come here and hear us sing that, like this, like, I enter to holy of holies. No, you don't enter. You have entered. Are you getting the point? You've entered. We live there now. We live there now. Don't always look for emotional songs that make you feel like you are pushing to get something and you are lacking something and you have to work very hard to get it. That's not a good thing, though. It may make you feel spiritual, but it also makes you feel not complete. Are you following me? So that's it. Don't always look for that. I'm thinking of, there are many songs like that. That makes us like that, you know. And that's the song moving the market now. If you sing any song now in the body of Christ that the believers doing, it will move. But me, I'm telling you, it's producing weaker Christians. Believers have to know. They have to know. So I respect all the men of God that preach those kind of things, but I don't agree with it. I get to the point, but I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. I still don't agree with it. I'm trying to see if there's a way I can agree, but my mind is still not agreeing with it. Because as I'm talking, every scripture I know is rushing to my head, and I'm still not agreeing with it. It's not correct. So you have to know where you stand in Christ, and who you are in Christ, and what you have in Christ, and what God has made available for you in Him. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power. We saw that yesterday. So imagine you are seated with Christ already and you are saying to Him, take me to where? So you want to go higher than where He is. You are seated with Him already. We are saying, Lord, take me somewhere. Take me somewhere. So where do you want to go to? If you see the Old Testament people pray that kind of prayer, they are right to pray it. their rights to pray it because they needed to get to somewhere, which is where we've gotten to. Are you following what I'm saying now? No, I mean, it is we say in prayer that is not correct. You know, Isaiah said, oh, that you will rend the heavens and come down. People pray that prayer. They don't realize that prayer has been answered. Jesus has come down. God has come down as man. So say, Father, rend the heaven and come down. Or people say this like, Lord, arise on your throne. What do you think? Sit down. Leave this matter. The Lord, arise. Arise. Don't sit down when things are spoiling. What you don't realize is that you are the one that should actually arise. Don't ask God to do what he has asked you to do. You know what I said? Two things the Lord said to me, and I've heard that from many men of God actually, even after God said that to me. Don't ask God to do what he has asked you to do, and don't ask him to do what he has already done. Are you following me? I said again, don't ask God to do what he has asked you to do, and don't ask him to do what he has already done. There are many things that God has done that we are still hoping that he will do. I was still praying that he does it. But he has done it. You know, I heard a man of God recently, and I've been talking about Pastor Chris for some time now. I had him recently, and he made a statement. And he said, all the books, I'm just quoting him. He said, I've read a lot of books on the anointing. He said, all those books are not correct. And I can tell you, to a very, very, very large extent, he's correct. Yes. Anointing is a very sensitive topic. What is anointing? Now I have a teaching on that, Abby. What is anointing? The anointing is not the Holy Ghost. To anoint means to rub. It means to anoint, to smear, to rub. So, when you say anoint, the question is anoint with what? Do you understand the point? It means to rub. So the Bible now said how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. So the anointing on Jesus was the Holy Ghost. It's just like I can say how I anointed my body today with cream. It means to rub. So you now say, so what is the anointing you anointed? What did you anoint yourself today? I used cream. Which cream? Vaseline. Do you understand? How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. So the anointing upon Jesus was the Holy Ghost. So the anointing the believer needs or carries is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the anointing. So if actually the Holy Ghost is the anointing, what do we now mean by more anointing? We need more anointing. Is it more Holy Spirit? I thought the Holy Ghost is a person. And we all agree that it's a person. So what do you mean by more anointing? I need more of Pastor Henry. What does that mean? Did I come with my left ear or should I bring the right ear? So the matters have to be investigated. Are you following me? Why are you guys quiet? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. He said, he that establisheth us with you has anointed us. Is God. So it's in the past. God has anointed us. It's very clear. 1 John tells us the anointing that you've received of the Holy One. That's 1 John 2:27. The anointing you've received of the Holy One remaineth in you. It abided in you. 1 John 2:27. I can see the point. So we are already anointed. I'm trying to bring you out from that place of seeking things to the place of enjoying what you have. So, sir, why? Now, is there a growth? Yes. There is a growth in the anointing, but not the growth of the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Ghost. He's perfect. Now, you can make progress with that anointing. And I've taught that as a full teaching on that. You can make progress with the anointing. You can learn how to cooperate with the anointing the more. You can learn how to use the anointing better. But the anointing is perfect. It's the Holy Ghost. So you can never see the New Testament where the Bible, where anybody said, more anointing. It's not in the Bible. It's things we made up by ourselves. I get what I'm saying now. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. So you can grow in the anointing. You can grow in the Spirit. You can walk in the anointing. But you cannot grow the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is perfect. I get the point. He is the anointing. So you can grow in it. Somebody will say, well, this is just English, this is just semantics. No, it makes all the difference. So that you don't begin to think you're lacking something.
So what you now need is, one, you need knowledge on how to walk in those things. Number two, you now need to pray. What does prayer do? Prayer activates what you already carry on your inside. Simple. It doesn't bring anything from anywhere. So God has put His Spirit in us, and all we have to do is to cooperate with Him. So, and maybe this started like just commenting on the songs, but it's already connecting to the message we are sharing, or we were sharing yesterday. The fact that God has brought us to a place, I get to the point, we are seated with Him. He has given us His authority. So when a believer is praying, "Father, I need more authority. I need more power." There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. You don't need more authority. Now, somebody's going to tell me, "But I know believers that pray that way and all of that, and they have results." Let me tell you, prayer is powerful. Do you understand? And so sometimes, even if you don't really have understanding of what you're praying about, the fact that you're praying in tongues, don't forget, whenever you're praying in tongues, you're praying right. You get? Even if you don't know, you are praying. Bible said, you give thanks well. If you are giving thanks in tongues. He said, if you bless with the Spirit, you give thanks well. That's 1 Corinthians 14. You give thanks well if you are blessed with the Spirit. So you are correct. So once you pray, just that when the anointed now wants to interpret what happens, he might be wrong in interpretation. He might tell you, for instance, let me give an example. When I got saved newly, I said I was doing ministry. I was very, I had results, at least too much result for my age and all of that in ministry. I was laying hands on people. I was healing the sick. I was seeing many miracles happen for a small boy. But I didn't have all the explanation to what was happening to me. I get the point. And so, and naturally, when I began to do those things, people started coming close to me and I started asking questions. "We want this. How are you able to do this?" So I gave them whatever answer I thought was right. So I remember somebody coming to me after I finished ministering in a school one day. The power of God was over the roof. Fire was everywhere. And I was just stepping out of the hall with my man of God, Aura. And he just ran to me. Held my hand, "One small girl." I said, "What?" He said, "I want what you carry." I just laughed. I said, "Can you pay the price?" Now, me, I'm thinking now, at that time, what price have I paid? Now, I know, don't get me wrong. I was fasting, though. I will tell you what changed my life, actually. I've told this story many times. I said, "Can you pay the price?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Can you fast?" She said, "Yes." I smiled. I said, "Can you fast for 7 days?" You know, all those kind of things. So, and I wasn't trying to talk down on her. I sincerely felt that was it. Because at the time in my life, I was fasting like a mad person. And all those fasts gave me results. They might have fasted, they might have saw results. So I felt that was it. When you fast, more anointing is poured upon you. So I've shared it so many times. I went to a place, all these prayer mountains. Remember that story? I went to a prayer mountain. So, I didn't go there to pray. A group had a retreat. They invited me to come and preach to them. But it afforded me the opportunity to stay there. So I spent like 2 days there. So in the course of my time, I interacted with a lot of people. I saw it's a very big place, very big. When I mean big, I mean a group could be praying here, another group there, and they will not be disturbing each other. It's that big. It has a hostel and all of that. So in the course of my interaction, I met people. I met this set of children. They were younger than me. They were fasting. They were fasting for 7 days. Non-stop. Dry fasting, no water. I've never done that in my life. Even till now. Don't think I let that change. So I saw that they were fasting. They were on the fourth day, I'd be the fifth day. And the leader was just encouraging them. Because I interacted with them. I said, "How long?" He said, 4 days, 5 days. I said, "Wow." It was a life-changing moment for me. Because right there, now, the kind of testimonies I was sharing, the kind of results I was seeing, those girls have never seen. I get to the point. And I know, like I know my name, I have not done that thing they're doing. And I wasn't planning to do it. Do you get the point now? At the time, we already had a case of someone that was dead that came back to life. At the time. I get what I'm saying? And I've not done any of those things. It dawned on me that day that it is not about this thing. Prayer is good though. It's not about this thing. I didn't say anything to them because they were even asking me. They saw me as a bigger man of God. So they even asked me to minister to them. So I ministered the Holy Ghost to them, prayed for them, imparted them, and I left. Then as I was going, I was thinking, wow, I've not done this. And I wasn't planning to do it. I wasn't even challenged. That's all right. I wasn't challenged to do it. There's no point. I couldn't do it. 7 days drivers, you know. I'm not saying it's bad. But I couldn't do it. The highest I had gone was 3 to 4 days dry. I even tried to pass many of you. I feel I'm saying now. I began to learn. The major difference between myself and most of those guys, one, I had more knowledge than most of them had. Now, I'm just trying to tell you that there are many things. I had more knowledge than they had. They were fasting, they weren't reading. I read books. At the time I was dealing with them, I had finished, like, I could answer many questions that they didn't have answered. I get to the point. So that knowledge stood me out from many of those guys. I get to the point. And I was listening. I saw that when I listened to some of these white preachers, not people that have compromised, like solid white preachers, like Rehad Bonke and all of that. And I'm wondering, you think Rehad Bonke has gone for 7 days driving? He has never done it. Even 2 days has not done. Did I have a prayer life? Yes. But they've not done all those things. Do they ascend? But you see their results. So the missing link is knowledge. Most times. Are you following me? Now, is there need for prayer? Yes, you should know what happens when you pray. Now, we teach prayer. I teach prayer a lot. There is no year I will not do a series on prayer. Even this year. Do you get the point? I teach prayer a lot. And I'm talking about prayer of Father, we thank you. Long, protracted prayer. And we practice it a lot here. Do you understand? Prayer drive this month was short. It was just 4 hours. Our prayer drive now was 6 hours. It was 4 hours because we had to combine it with this ongoing meeting. It is 6 hours. Do you understand the point? When Zoe was coming last year, amen. How many of you remember Zoe last year? I made all workers that worked at Zoe pray for 6 hours. Yes, we fixed the 6 hours prayer straight. So I believe in such long prayers. But we must know what happens when we do it. I feel I'm saying. It's not that more power is entering. It's just that I know that when they pray that way, there is already a deposit of God inside of them that they stir up and they become more active, more sensitive to it. So prayer helps you. It doesn't even help the anointing. It helps you. Are you following me? It makes you more sensitive to those things. Amen. Then prayer does that. Knowledge plays a role too. And all of that. Then sometimes, let me even add. Sometimes it's not prayer. Sometimes it's not knowledge. Sometimes it's just God's sovereign choice. You see this thing I said? The day you will understand it, you stop being proud. There are many things you do in your life now that you know that if we go by... Okay, let me even go from the natural. You can see someone that sings very well. That sings like maybe my wife. And you meet her. Say, I want to sing. The first thing my wife will tell you is that anybody can sing. Anybody that can talk can sing. That's our slogan. That once you can talk, you can sing. So what are you going to start doing? You now download voice training tutorials. If they are doing... How many of you know what I'm saying? And then... Then you start drinking egg. You drink raw egg. You eat okra. You know those things. You swallow banana. Now, you know I'm not exaggerating, right? Who has tried swallowing banana? Let me see. You not believe? Don't die, you. At the end of the day, the best you can be. He's just an average singer. If you don't have it, there are certain things that people just have that is just them. Even in the natural, they just have it. They don't work hard for it. It's a proof that the hand of God is upon your life. I'm just telling you. Let me give you an example. This thing I'm talking about, I study. I believe I'm a good teacher. I study a lot. But let me say this to you. I still believe that people that study more than me, but they can't teach like me. Some days it's just by God's sovereignty. It should make you humble. Let me give you a perfect example. Have you seen, in my journey as a Christian, as a trainer, sometimes you see someone that gets saved. He joins the church. In the next 1 month, we had a case like that. He can stand up, small boy, and mention your name, give clear prophetic words. Have you ever seen anything like that? Now, it now looks like he's better than he prays, but it is not true. Sometimes it's just the hand of God, the call of God upon a person. There is that part. Are you following me? Somebody will say, "Pastor, I don't have." Well, let's not get into that. If you look at yourself, that is something that you do effortlessly. Many of you, it is ministry related. Some of you, it is not ministry related, but it will help the ministry if you are really wise. But there are things that you just do effortlessly. Some people, before they carry this mic and talk, they have to shout "Blood of Jesus" 7 times. There are so many people that it comes, they can have stage fright. Once they handle the mic, they just flow. It's just there. They can address people. Now, when those people just learn small gospel, if they talk, you will run. You will think they've been on the word of God for the past 15 years. It's not true. The Bible said there was a man called Apollos. He was mighty in speech, but he didn't know anything. You know what I'm saying? Mighty in speech, but he didn't know anything. He took Aquila and Priscilla to sit him down and disciple him before he knew the word of the Lord. He was already mighty in speech. So some things is just God's deposit in people. Are you following me? Now, if you realize that as a man of God, you shouldn't be trying to make people feel like the reason I am at this level is because I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that and then after I did this and the person that helped me very well in my walk with God to deal with this particular matter, it was just one encounter. It was Reverend Bonnke. He said, if Reverend Bonnke talk, he said, that many people have had encounters with God and seen Jesus. They have never seen Jesus. That he didn't even hear any call. He didn't even see any vision. That's Reverend Bonnke. He said, "I just know that I want God to use me. That he set me free." Now, I get what I'm saying. He said he didn't have all those. Like that day he got the call of God, he didn't, maybe he wasn't the dream in a 17-hour long vision. And the Lord, not all of us will have all those things. Are you following me? Most times, people that even have some of those strange experiences, most of them have something to do with the prophetic call. Sometimes, it's just there. I get to the point. So if someone has got the prophetic, sometimes the first 1 week of his, whatever, he has seen Jesus, he has seen angel. You have not seen anyone. And nothing is wrong with you. It doesn't mean you're not ascending. It doesn't mean you're not seated with Christ. Are you following me, friends? Yeah, it doesn't mean any of those things. Just know what you know and do what you do. Are you following me? I used to have results. Like myself, I had the vision of Jesus once. But that vision of Jesus I had was 2011. I've been doing ministry for like 5 years before I had that vision of Jesus. Funny thing is, I've not had it again till now. 2011 till now is about 14 years. And I'm not even sure I'm about to have it. I'm not even sure I'm about to have it again. But it doesn't matter. I get the point. It doesn't matter. And my vision of Jesus did not last long. It just happened. There are people like Rad Bonnke, not Kenneth Hagin, sometimes one day he can be eating on a dining table and Jesus will walk in. And he will excuse you. So we're going to talk with Jesus. He has never entered my room. And there is nothing wrong with me. I get what I'm talking about. Because so that we don't begin to, now this is where I'm going to. I've seen why God is leading me to this matter. Every time we go to all this, take me to the place, let me go higher, we are seeking experiences. And please, I want to correct that. Don't seek an experience. So Lord, I want an encounter. You are seeking experiences. And the devil has many to give you. You see, take it from me. If you are a serious believer, a faithful Christian, there's no way you will live all this your life and die and you will not have an encounter at least once. All those experiences, it will happen to you. Don't worry. We don't even know how it will come. At least once it will happen. But don't seek it. Be satisfied with where you are in Christ. Are you following me this evening? Be okay with where you are in Christ and pray, grow spiritually. I don't know, I'm debating from my teaching, but this is setting somebody free. really setting somebody free. Are you following me? Because you are not thinking you're a second class believer. But some of that are talking about how they went into REMS. You've not even gone into anywhere. Me too, I've not gone into REMS. But I'm your pastor. Can you see now? Stop looking for what is not lost. Are you getting the point? Stop looking for what is not lost. There's nothing that is wrong with you. You're okay. Just grow in your walk with God. Are you following me, friends? Grow in the anointing. And we've done a lot of teachings on that. Grow in the anointing. Get better with the flow of the Spirit. Just grow. But don't think that there's anything wrong with you because you are not this or you are not that, because you're not smiling or because you're not. No. You are okay. Shout a big amen.
Amen.
I'm crucified with Christ.
Crucified with Christ.
What's happening? Say it again. Okay, I wanted to be sure my ear was not having a problem. Amen.
Amen.
Say, I'm crucified with Christ.
Say,
I was buried with Christ.
I've risen with Christ.
And I'm seated with Christ. Glory to God.
Glory.
So have your seat. We're looking at Father yesterday. We closed that part where we're looking at that He gave us His name. He gave us His authority. Now, today I said I'm going to talk about something. I already made that promise. So let me just flow with it. So I said I was going to talk about the fact that in this identification, right? Remember what we're talking about is how to reign in life, Abby. Reigning in life. How God has made us to reign. In this identification, in this oneness we have with Christ, in this journey He took us, we were crucified with Him, we were buried with Him, we rose with Him, we sat with Him, He shared His authority with us. Now, He also shared His glory with us. Now, this is a sensitive statement, but it's actually in the Bible. In John 17, verse 22, like I quoted yesterday, Jesus said, "The glory which thou gavest me," He said, "I have given them." The glory. You know, when I saw this scripture, I had to look it up in the Greek and all the translations to be sure. But it's the word glory. It's the word doxa. Right? Doxa is the word for glory in the Greek. Whereas in the Old Testament, that's Hebrew, is the word kabod. I get the point. That's the way you read the Bible. Says somebody, a child was named Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. So kabod is the glory. Jesus said He has shared His glory with us. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, the Apostle Peter was talking about what we have in Christ. And he said, according as His divine power had given unto us all things that, what? Talk to me, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. He said God called us, invited us. Give me a Amplified Classic. He invited us to His glory. Look at this. Let's read together, everybody. All things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory. So God, in salvation, God called us to His own glory. Which is exactly what Jesus said in John 17. That the glory You've given me, I've given them. Is someone following me this evening? So it's not even something you should doubt. Somebody's going to say, "Sir, does it mean we all this, you are the Lord, that is your name, you will never share glory." Is anything wrong with that song? Well, I'm going to touch it a little today. Amen. He has called us to His glory. But I'm trying to show you why we should be reigning in life. The word glory, like I said, is the Hebrew word kabod and the Greek word doxa. What it means in the Old Testament, it means weight. That's what it means. Weight. Like W-E-I-G-H-T. Weight. It means weight. It means splendor. It means copiousness. That's abundant, plentiful. It means honor. It means dignity. So when we say the glory of a thing, we are talking about the full weight of that thing. The full expression of that thing. So when we say the glory of God, That's a heavy statement. It means the weight, the full weight of God. Are you following me? That it means weight. That's kabod. Weight. It means copiousness. You know what's copiousness? Copious. Check it. COPIOUSNESS. I'm just trying to teach you small English. Because I just said copiousness. All of you acted like you know what I was saying. So have you found it? Check your dictionary. What does it mean? Being abundant, plentiful, large quantity. What do you have? Vast in quantity. So when we say the glory of God, it means, you know, God, the abundance of God. Right? So we say the glory of the Son, we mean the weight of the Son, the full display, full supply of the Son, the dignity of the Son. So when we teach the glory of God, we are talking about the weight. His weight as God. There's also a context where this glory means praise and honor. That's why we can say glory be to God. In that context, I'm talking about, I feel what I'm saying, that it is in that context that we say you should not share God's glory. I feel like in that context of, oh, glory be to God, that means don't share God's praise. Hallelujah. Amen. This is, you guys mixed everything together. It's fine still. Get the word kabod. That's K-A-B-O-D. So in that context, we say, don't share God's glory. Right? And let me even warn you, don't share God's glory. If God does a thing, he did it. Don't share the glory, not with yourself, with anybody. Give God the glory that is due him. And that's actually, I've taught on that a lot. When I taught you on reverence, remember? Walking in reverence. When I taught you on the believer's honor code, that is glory that is due God. Do you remember? Very well. So, give God his glory. Give him glory. But then, the idea of the glory of God, he's not talking about praise, though. He's talking about the weight of God. His copiousness. His splendor. Which is why Jesus is called God's glory. Look at kabod. Kabod is a Hebrew word. What does it mean? Glory, honor, respect, heaviness. The root meaning is rooted in heavy or weighty. Are you following me? Don't say the glory of God. It means the weight of God. So it can refer to God's majesty, his wealth, or the heavy praise of his power and glory in the world and all of that. Now, what's the meaning to that? So that's why we call Jesus the glory of God. So when you hear me teach and say, Jesus is the glory of God, what it means is that Jesus is the full display of everything that God is. So Hebrew 1 verse 3, you see, Jesus is called the glory of God. Hebrew 1 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Who being the brightness, who is he talking about? Jesus. Give me Amplified Classic. He's the brightness of his glory. He said he is the sole expression of the glory of God. Because it is in Jesus that you see the full weight, the full display, the full splendor of God. Are you getting the point? Is it clear to us? So when the Bible now says that God shared his glory with us, what it means is that, you know, he has shared with us the whole essence of his person. The whole essence of his personality. In other words, it means he lives in us without leaving any part of him out. He lives in us in his fullness. Are you following me? He lives in us. The glory means weight. So he has shared that his fullness with us. So right where, as you're looking at me now, I carry the glory of God. So when we are doing meetings and we say, oh, the glory of God is in this place, what actually is happening is that there is just a manifestation. Are you following me? And notice when it happens, sometimes people are on the floor, people are crying because even it comes with a certain weight. It's like you can almost feel that there is something heavy in the room. That's a manifestation. The real glory of God has been shared with the believer. That is Jesus that he has inside of him. So you see where I'm going with this? So he said, the glory that thou gavest me, I've given them. That's the fullness of your person that you put in me, I have also put in them. Are you guys following me this evening at all? The full expression of your personality that you put in me, I've put in them. So we carry the glory of God. You know, I said, you know, I've taught this before. When I taught on the glory cloud, I mentioned what I'm going to say now. Moses was a very powerful miracle worker. Are you aware? And I've told you guys, I don't think there's any miracle worker in the Bible like Moses. Not even Jesus. I'm not saying Jesus did not have a kind of... Jesus was more... He had power. But he didn't work like miracles Moses worked. Because he didn't need it. Moses divided Red Sea. That alone can take out any miracle anybody has done. Whether Red Sea and held Red Sea up, not for 5 days, for millions of people to pass. That's weeks. Think of how long it should take for millions of people to go through. Red Sea is not the stream in your village. Red Sea. Those 3 million people walked through the place and the Red Sea was standing like that for days and weeks and months. That's the man Moses, Apostle Moses. Don't play with him. He was not anointed. Think of that miracle. Moses' life was it was miraculous. If it had to be so that the Israelites would believe him. They were in the wilderness. He told them, from tomorrow, every day, you will eat. So they woke up in the morning, manna has come. They gathered every day. At the time, meat began to fall. Are you aware? Meat, quails began to fall. At the time, water came from the rock. That was Moses. But do you know, after all of those experiences, Moses got to the book of Exodus, verse 33, and asked God, show me your glory. What was he asking for? Are you following me? Because people think that the glory of God is in mighty miracles. Nobody came close to Moses, even in this generation now. To start with, why you might not have to do up to the kind of miracle Moses did is because you don't even need to do it. God doesn't do miracle for sure. Moses needed to. He was leading over 3 million people through the wilderness for 40 years. You need a lot of miracles to lead those kind of people. Do you know one group that challenged Moses in rebellion? The earth opened and swallowed them. Now, not figuratively. Boy! They entered. You can't beat that. Now, if that happens in a church, if we are in a church now and a pastor prays and food falls from heaven and water is, he just points to the pillar and water begins to flow from the pillar, we are going to be shouting, wow, see power, see glory. Moses saw all of that and said, Lord, show me your glory. Are you following me? Think of the miracles in Egypt. 10 solid plagues. He will tell Pharaoh, tomorrow, River Nile will be red. It will be full of blood. And it will be full of blood. Pharaoh will beg him. The blood will disappear. He will tell Pharaoh, see tomorrow, frogs everywhere. And the guy was not anointed. He could do anything he wanted to do. He had the kind of miracles that you can even doubt. He stood before a bush that was burning, but the bush wasn't burnt. Bible said, God told them, he said, for everybody you know, all prophets, I speak to them in dreams and visions. He said, but my servant Moses, I talk to him face to face. He will get up and walk up to Mount Sinai and stay in Mount Sinai. A cloud will cover him in Mount Sinai. He will stay there for 40 days and come out. Then he now asked God to show me your glory. Because even he knew that the burning bush was not the glory. The cloud on Mount Sinai was not the glory. Because they don't reveal the fullness of God. Glory means the weight. Are you following me, friends? It means the whole essence. Now, I'm not talking about miracles. I have a few. Amen. Just a few. But Mark, come here, don't mind me. We'll do more miracles. We're just doing small, small now. Amen. At least one or two dead person coming back to life. Blind eye opening. We've seen a few of those. More will happen. But even Moses had more. And said, Lord, show me your glory. I beseech you. Now, you would have thought that God would tell him, you already have seen it. He told him, actually, you have not. If you see it, you will die. Are you following me? Now, watch this. Moses said, show me your glory. And God told him, thou cannot see my face. What did he ask for? He asked for the glory. What did God answer? God said, you cannot see my face. Because God knew what he was asking for. He was asking to see God, the fullness, the weight. Are you following me, friends? He said, you cannot see my face. It wasn't Moses that said he wanted to see God's face. He asked for glory. God said, I know what you're asking for. You want to see my face. You can't see it. And leave. So eventually he told Moses, I'm going to hide you. Now watch this. I'm going to hide you behind the rock because I'm trying to show you how that when Jesus said he shared his glory with us, you have to know what he was saying. He said, I'm going to hide you behind the rock and I'm going to pass and you will see my back. Moses said, well, fair enough. I can manage. Amen. And then in chapter 34, he keeps Moses behind the rock and then he passes. And Moses saw his back. What was his back that Moses saw? He proclaimed, the Lord is merciful, plenteous in mercy, plenteous in goodness. So the back of God that God showed Moses was a revelation. Do you follow? Go to chapter 34 because many people are looking at me like I'm speaking Greek. Amen. Shout a big amen. Say, I have revelation. Say, I have revelation. Verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So when the Lord came, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for third generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, that would by no means clear the guilty, visiting the good of the father upon the children and upon the children's children on the third or fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. So this was the back of God that he saw. So what did Moses see? God told him about himself. So what did he mean by you cannot see my face? At this point, Moses, I cannot show you everything. Do you understand the point? You cannot see everything. You cannot know. You cannot see the fullness of it. But then Jesus now came. And we beheld his fullness. So Jesus is the fullness of God revealed. Do you get the point? So that which Moses was asking God to show him, Jesus became. I get what I'm saying now. So go see verse 14 of John 1. You're right, actually. John 1 verse 14. He said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what Moses saw in parts, and what he got as an idea, God now revealed fully in Christ. So that's why we call Jesus the glory of God. Because he is the full revelation of who God is. Do you understand? So in Jesus, God poured himself. Poured all of himself. Showed all of himself. He now said in John 17, the glory, that fullness, that weight that you've put in me, I've also given them. So today we carry the fullness of God. The fullness of the glory of God. So the glory of God is not a cloud. The glory of God is not the dead rising. Even though when the glory comes, the dead will rise. But it's not the dead rising. The glory of God is a person. He's Jesus. That person, we carry him now. So I carry the glory of God. Sir, did you just say when the glory comes, the dead will rise? Yes, actually. The glory is God. When he comes, anything that God can do. Because remember what glory is? The weight. The fullness. Are you getting the point? The copious. Everything that is God is the glory. That's what glory means. So God has given us his glory. We carry his glory. We carry his fullness. Do you follow to this point? We carry his fullness. His glory. So even though Moses stayed on the inside the cloud on Mount Sinai for 40 days, he knew that he wasn't standing face to face with the glory of God. The fullness wasn't there. But Jesus came and showed us God's fullness. All there is about God, he revealed. He not only did he reveal, he became. So Jesus is everything that God is. Do you agree with that? Now he lives in us. So we carry the glory of God. So Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is that glory that lives in you. Are you following me, friends? He is that glory of the Father. He lives in me. I say he lives in me. Now follow this. Why did I take you to all of that? I took you to so that if you know how circumstances should respond to God, that is how they respond to you now. Because you carry the fullness of the Father. So Jesus will stand before a possessed person. He has not said anything. The possessed person is shouting, "Jesus, son of David, do you want to cast us out before now?" He has not said anything. He just stood. You know why? That demon faced the full glory of God. Nobody can stand that. He told Moses, if you see it, you are going to die. It will cause, what does that mean? If you see it, you will die. You will stop breathing. And that's why when we saw that glory, we died. The old man died. A new person. Are you following me, friends? Now, where you now stand before any devil, it's not just you standing. It is the glory of God. This is why I said, I believe we should be reigning in this life and taking authority. So, when you see me, they say this person has cancer, and they say pray, and I just come. I know it. You know, that's why. Have you ever seen me minister? I do sometimes. I can start to minister to you. If I just have that leading, I can say, hey, look into my eyes. If you look, you get healed. Why do those things happen? I carry the glory of God. I am not the glory of God, but I have him. See, I'm not the glory of God. Because these are places where we begin to get to extremes. Amen. But there's a song like that. I am fire. I am light. I am glory. I'm not glory. But I have the glory of God. No, must be very careful. A pastor finished teaching somewhere about the holy, about the fact that, you know, we are spirits and we are holy. So we are a holy spirit. We are a spirit that is holy. So somebody now came to meet him and said, "Ah, pastor, I was so blessed. You know, I'm the Holy Spirit." I was saying, "No. You are not Holy Spirit." You know, like we can just sometimes, you know, this situation, you can get so excited. I'm going to talk rubbish. He said, "This is the Holy Ghost." He said, "You are not the Holy Ghost, but then you are a Holy Spirit. You are a spirit that is holy, but not the Holy Ghost." You have to be careful. It is in that context. Now, let me say this. It is in that context. People would say things like, "I am Jesus." Well, there is a... Jesus lives in you, sha. But you are Jesus. Because you didn't die for us on the cross. He said, "For say we died with him." You died with him. We didn't die with you. So it is in that context that we say there is none holy as the Lord. What that means is that even though he brought us where he is, but he's still in a class of his own. Holy means to be set apart. Are you getting the point? He's still set apart in a class of his own. Not because he has not brought us where he is, but because there is something he is that we can never be. We can't be worshipped. Do you understand what I'm saying now? We did not die for anybody on the cross. He died as us and for us. We did not die for anybody. So I don't believe that, unless maybe there's another context I want to explain it, but I am the glory of God is a claim that even Paul did not make. But I have the glory of God. That one is true. Peter said he called us to glory. So call to glory is not what they use when people die. If you've not been called to glory here on earth, if you die, you are called to nothing. But we are called to glory now. So I'm even afraid to use it because don't think in their mind this call to glory is dead. Glory to God. I'm called to glory. Don't be afraid. Just say, I'm called to glory. Why are you afraid? You don't want to die. Okay, I've been invited into his glory. Okay, that's why you want to say. Well, they say, call to glory. What they just understand by that is, you have died. Glory to God. All that God is, he put in us. Glory to God. He has called us to his own glory. Now, when, you know, King James said he called us to glory. Now, if you read Amplified Classic, he explained it better. He tells us it is his own glory. Are you getting the point? It is his own. It's not like another, his own glory. He called us to it. He invited us to that glory. His own glory. His excellence. His virtue. His fullness. He called us to share. So when you stand before a situation, you are standing there carrying the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the glory of God. Stand before the situation. He cannot say no to you. Now, this is actually some of the things I know. That's why you see me talk the way I talk. Say, you can't say no to me. That mountain will move. That mountain will move. That issue will be solved. You say, who are you again? I carry the glory of God. The weight of God. Everything that made him God. His fullness is talking. You know, one day, many years ago, I was sharing this with some people. Many years ago now. I don't think I've shared that in a very long time. You know, in the book of Revelation, I saw one that was studying, and I saw Jesus appeared to John. And John was describing the amazing image he was seeing. He said on his hair was white. This one was shining. Do you know that description? And the Lord said, can you imagine that personality in you? That's how you stand when you stand before any demon. In the fullness of the glory of God. In the full display. So he now says, sir, I was praying. The devil says he's not going. What's that? See, I've been praying about this matter. You have to think. You are here to reign. God has put his whole essence inside of you. So when you stand before a problem, you stand like Jesus himself in the fullness of his glory. Thank you. You know, by next part of this teaching, you know, we'll start talking about transmitting life. One day, I pray I will have time to get to that. If I explain to you what laying on of hands means, how it works. That's why Jesus said we can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. Why? Because laying on our hands is a means of contact. It's not just your hand. You are carrying the glory of God. Are you following me, friends? When you lay hands, this is the glory of God. You're housing God's image, God's essence. Everything that makes him God. The weight. Once in a while, there will be manifestation of the glory. But manifestation or no manifestation, you carry the fullness. When there are manifestations, there will be healings. You know, in John chapter 2, I think verse 11, right? The Bible tells us about the miracle of Jesus in Cana. The Bible said, this the beginning of miracles, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory. So he calls miracle a manifestation of the glory of God. Do you get the point? So it's a manifestation of the glory of God. But that's not the glory. Moses had all of that and said, I wanted the glory. Now, Moses wanted to see the glory. Now we house the glory. So if we stand before Red Sea, if we stand before challenges, it is not just me standing. It is me housing God in his fullness, standing before that problem. When you see the way we talk with authority, you say, wait, what's giving this one boldness? There is something we know. It's not just me. I carry the glory of God. I carried. He shared his glory with us. He shared it with us. He shared it with us. If you think of the glory of God in your head, and you think of what will happen if the glory comes here now, that is what will happen when I stand. It's a consciousness that has to happen to you. Come into your head. It's a consciousness. It's a consciousness. The glory that thou gavest me, I've given them. Now, what is the result of that giving of the glory? Please watch. That they may be one, even as we are one. Give me a Amplified Classic. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That they may be one, even as we are one. So that oneness that exists between him and the Father, there is now a oneness between the Father, the Son, and the believer. So he has shared that his glory, that his essence with us. Are you following me, friends? So when we stand before a challenge, it's not just me. You see why we should reign in this life. So that's why when people say things like, so there is a demon pursuing me, I say, ah. So with all the glory you carry, you are running from the demon. So who should be running? Who should be running? I told you yesterday, the greatest strength of the devil today is in deception. So once he tells you something, you now start running. Who should be running from the devil? Who should be running from who? The man that houses the fullness of the glory of God. You know, E.W. Kenyon said, you know, was describing this. He said, on the day of Pentecost, Satan did not just see 120 guys talking gibberish. Satan saw 120 of that man that faced them in hell. Just imagine saying, he's one we crucified. I'm seeing. There are now 120. And as he was trying to wrap his head around that, Peter stood up and preached. Oh, you didn't get it. Peter preached, and they, before his eyes, they turned to 3,120 people. He said, what is this? How? So it became a multiplication. So, when you now read that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covers the sea, it will come by the preaching of the gospel. And as more men are being saved, the glory of God is filling the earth that way. So the glory of God filling the earth is actually not about many miracles happening. It's about more men getting saved. Are you following me now? The glory of God is filling the earth. So you say, we want the glory to fill our campus. Get many people saved. When you get them saved, say, but there's no manifestation. Teach them. Once they realize that this is a new person now, that carrying the whole essence, things will change. The glory of God is working in me. He's living in me. I carry that glory. So when I now go up and down, what should I do? I should manifest the glory. I see a sick person. Healing is a manifestation of the glory. I see a blind person. I manifest the glory. There's a devil making noise behind my house. I manifest the glory. Hey, get out of that place. And he moves. This is why when I say we are here to reign, that's why. That's how we reign. Are you following me now? That's how we reign. That's how we reign. We carry God's glory. Are you still here? So circumstances therefore respond to us as Him. He responds to us as Him. For we carry His weight, His copiousness. So when I stand for a challenge, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. That's why when you see people that know these things, how they talk. So as I tell people, my presence is everything. And that's not pride. I know what I know. If I show up, things will change. If I show up. Here, that's what those are said to that witch, or the head of the witches. They were planning a witchcraft conference in Benin many years ago. Worldwide witchcraft conference. Amen. It wasn't a hidden thing. They publicized it. Witches from outside the country were going to come. See, amen. They were not going to fly in the night. They were going to drive it. They had a van. And Archbishop got to know about it. Because he was in his city. That's a mistake. They chose the wrong city. So he went on TV. You know, he was such a man. I have not seen a man who understood. Sorry to say, I'm not insulting anybody. Who understood their person in Christ and the authority they have, like Archbishop. He knew it. He knew he could control anything. He went on air, on radio, and on TV and said, see, that meeting will not hold. Yes, he announced it very boldly. It will not hold. The head of the witches came later and said, even if Jesus, because the letter called a meeting between him and the guy on national TV, everybody was watching. And the guy said to them, even if Jesus comes here, even if God comes down, this meeting will hold. Archbishop said, that's the problem. Jesus does not need to come down. I'm here. Why bothering Jesus? Me, I'm here. It will not hold. You want to hear the rest of the story? They kept going back and forth. Archbishop just got tired and said, you know, my Bible tells me to suffer not a witch to live. So if you agree you're a witch, you die now. Are you a witch? The guy said no. He was such a man of authority. You know, he was doing a crusade in Lagos. Invited, I think it was that album, T.L. Osborne, yes. Big meeting. And Nigeria had a match, I think against Ghana also. And the Nigerian government, the Lagos government went and removed his equipment because they wanted to use that stadium for the match. Removed his equipment. You know, Archbishop walked into a radio station. He didn't buy time. He just walked in, interrupted what they were doing, and took the mic and said, you see, it will rain cat and dog. There will be thunder. There will be brimstone. That match will not hold. Yes, he said it and left. He said, it will rain cat, dog, thunder, fire, brimstone. That, he said it and left. You thought it's not a joke, oh. Nigerian government is not the one they were dealing with. They went and paid for another field. Carried their own equipment, set it up for him, and went and pleaded with him. He went back on air and said, the match will now hold. Nigeria will win 2-0. Nigeria won 2-0. That's Archbishop. He knew this thing. He was the man you could play with. He doesn't have time for a court case. He doesn't negotiate with you. Glory to God. So you see, the major thing is you just have to know. Because to know it is not because I'm saying it now. He knows that his presence, he was that man. He knew. Now, I have heard many men of God talk about him. I've heard many of them. But he said he has never met a man like that. He commanded so much authority like he has never seen. He could do anything. 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 He had some guests to travel. And by the time they got to the airport, the flight was full. He stood before the flight and stopped the plane from moving and entered and said, you give up my seat for my guest. They said, yes, sir. They gave up seat. They entered. He said, you travel tomorrow. He said, okay. That's for sure. He could do anything. And that was, he could do anything. He had that. He knew it. Glory to God. He says, I cannot believe that men like Archbishop come once in a generation. Now, what I mean by that is not that God is not raising more men. But God raises some of those men to model for others what he wants them to become. I get what I'm saying. Archbishop is not a man you should fight. He's a man you should just look at and smile. He was like that. I get the point. He was like that. And you see the kind of impact. It's not all I'm telling you are just testimonies that are amazing. But you know, it was Archbishop that was the first. Because it's about knowing. He knew what he carried. He said that the Lord was showing him things about how he would take him around the world. I don't know why God is putting this in my heart strongly. He was telling the Lord, you want to do all of this with a black man? He said, God asked him, are you black? He said, yes. He said, I didn't know you were black. Because at the time, it was strange because those times, it was the height of racism. Yet, he himself will take, because of that knowledge, that he wasn't just someone that was meant to crawl into the earth. I just visited about 140 nations of the world. I can tell you, 70% of them, he himself took his program there. A black man who raised his team, go to Australia, organize, do a meeting, the whites will gather. Then it was impossible. But because of that, I get what I'm talking about, that perception that this guy is full of God's glory. This guy is not just any other person. He's not meant to beg through life and crawl through life. So while others are waiting for when will they invite us to come and preach, actually we'll come to your nation, do a meeting, shut down your stadium, do the program and leave. So you are doing racism, all of you will attend. Don't beg through life. I get the point. Don't crawl through life. Don't go by the corner. On this earth, you carry the glory of the Lord. Now, another thing the Lord shared with us when we, in that identification, is that he gave us his faith. Let me talk about that before we close. He gave us his faith. He gave us his glory. He gave us his faith. And that's a very serious statement. Because faith is another thing people misunderstand. We said, I need more faith. No. God gave us his faith. It was one of the things that he shared with us when we came into him. So when you see Paul talking, Galatians 2 verse 20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless I live. Yet not I. He said, but Christ lives in me. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son. He didn't say faith in, faith of the Son of God. Now, some translations are trying to say faith in Son of God, but actually the writing is faith of the Son of God. And I can prove it to you very shortly. The faith of. So, God gave us his faith. His faith. So, that's why when people begin to pray, Lord, I need more faith. Increase my faith. That's not a New Testament prayer. It's not correct. In Luke 17, verse 5, the apostles prayed and asked the Lord to increase their faith. And Jesus' answer to them was strange. I thought Jesus would have said, well, there are 7 steps to increasing your faith. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you may say to this mountain, but this can't tree. Why? Why was he saying that? You're asking for more faith. I'm going to say if you have small. So what was he trying to tell them? You actually don't have it. If you had it, you can tell the sycamore tree to move. Now, hear what I'm going to say. So, when he was teaching them in Mark 11, verse 22, he told them, now, the King James renders it as, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. But the original reads, have the God kind of faith. In fact, I think the translation that read it like that was, I think, Passion. Passion, God translation perfectly. The Passion translation. He told them, let the faith of God be in you. Give me a Passion translation. Let the faith of God be in you. So he wasn't telling them have faith in God. He was telling them to have God's faith. How does a man have God's faith? Let's wait for them to get that passion. Look at it. What did Jesus reply them? So it's not have faith in God, it is have the faith of God. Let the faith of God be in you. He now said, when you have the faith of God, you can now say to this mountain, be thou removed. So that's why he told the apostles, if you have as small as a mustard seed, that faith of God, you can say to this command tree, move. So how does a man get the faith of God? It is in salvation. When you come into Christ, he gives you his faith. His very faith. So part of what he shared with us is that he shared his faith with us. Which is why I'm showing you why we can reign in this identification. What is the faith of God? The faith of God is his faith. That thing that he has that makes him, but that thing that he used, you know, how did God create this whole earth? Words, faith. Let there be. Let there be. You know, I read a scripture today. It said that the mighty hand of God made this earth. And when I read that, I paused. The hand of God made this earth. He said, by your hand, you've made this whole earth. I said, what? What do you mean by what? I was thinking, by your hand. Because I read the book of Genesis. He didn't make this earth by his hand. He made it with his words. But the Bible said, by your hand, you have made this earth. So the hand of God is his word. Are you following me? By your hand, you made this earth. So that same faith he used to make this whole earth. Hebrews 11 verse 3 tells us that through faith, give me Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed. Give me King James. Not this. I don't teach with NLT. I only refer to it. Through faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen, we are not made of things which do appear. He's saying, by faith we understand that everything we see came from nothing. But by the word of God. That is God's faith. God's faith. That is the same faith he has given you. You see why nothing should be impossible for you? Because it's not like you have faith. You have the faith he gave you, his faith. So he finished making this earth and said, let me put in you what I used to make it. So that you too can make it if you want to make it. Give me like NLT of this verse. NLT of this verse. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And that the NLT is correct. What I'm saying is, people say the earth was formed from nothing. That's actually not true. There was a raw material. That raw material was the faith, was the word of God. Just that is not what we can see. The earth was formed from what we cannot see. Nothing is actually formed from nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Everything is formed from something. Just that some things are formed from what you cannot see. So how do you believe that you can just become rich from being very broke to being very wealthy? It doesn't work like that. It works like that. Because I'm not rising from nothing. I'm rising from the word. That same faith is what I carry now. I had to meditate on this a very long time. Even as I'm talking now, I'm still turning it over in my head. That same faith. The faith that made God, that God used to make this earth. It is by that faith that the sun is still up there, because he told the sun to be there. He told the moon where to stay. He told the water bodies where to stay. That faith he used. He said, I'm done. I'm sharing it with you. So I have the very faith of God. So nothing is impossible to me. The faith of God. It has never failed. It has never failed. This is why there is nothing that the believer wants to get done. Once that thing is in the will of God. Why must it be in the will of God? Well, because it is the faith of God you are using. And the faith of God cannot go against his will. Once it's in the will of God, once he wants to get it done, he will get it done. That faith will get anything done. That faith will get anything done. Says, I need healing. That faith works healing. Are you aware? It is by his faith, by his word, that you are even created. So even your lungs, we are made by the word of God. So if your lungs are made by the word of God, if your lung has issue, the word of God can fix it or make new ones. People don't get what I'm saying. God made this whole earth. People don't get what I'm saying. God made this whole earth, right? Made man. What raw material did he use? The word. The word. The word. Do you have it? So God gave us the raw material used in making the whole earth. You don't get it. That means we can create things too. You're not getting it. He gave us the very raw material he used in making the whole earth. Taught us how to use the raw material. So people say things like, my account is bad. Who created all those things? Who made the heavens? Who made the earth? Who made the sea? Who made all these things? Who made gold? Who made silver? Who made animals? Who made all those things? And what did he use in making them? His word. What did he give you? His word. How do you use that word? By faith. Whose faith? His faith. Do you have that faith? Yes. So, we are creators. Creator men. Men that create. Are you getting what I'm talking about? I'm trying to paint the picture. After Apple produced this phone, they come to you and hand you over the whole raw material used in making this phone and teach you how to use the raw material. In other words, any day you need a phone, make it. Are you following me, friends? So he gave us the word. How do you use the word? Faith. So we have the raw material. We have the know-how. So when I see believers complain, nothing is working, nothing is working, nothing is working, nothing is working. With the faith of God. That's why I told them, you can say to this mountain. And you know the thing about that teaching? He wasn't talking figuratively. He was actually pointing to a particular mountain. Like physical, you can tell a physical mountain move. In Luke 17, he wasn't talking, he said you can say to this sycamine tree. He was pointing to a tree. Luke 17 verse 6, put it up. You can say to this sycamine tree. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at that. The word I wanted to see is this. It wasn't saying you can say to a sycamine tree. Because if you said you can say to a sycamine tree, you can say, well, the sycamine tree there is figurative. He was talking about a particular, say, this tree. You can tell this tree to move. It will move. Let me tell you what this means. Somebody says, have you ever told tree to move or told man to move? I've never done that, at least physically. But what Jesus is trying to tell us is that with all the things we think we have done, we've not used up to 10% of what that faith of God can do. Now, many of us will die without ever telling the mountain to move, as in physically. But just in saying that faith of God has capacity to translocate mountain from a place to another. So you've not even used. So what's the problem? So I need money. Money. Where is money again? In this earth. We create. So we need a baby. You need a baby. You need a baby. Who created this earth? Who formed this earth? Who formed man? How did he form man? What raw material was used? Where you already have. So that's why you see why I said at the beginning, many prayers will pray to God are not necessary. Someone has equipped you with everything. So if I've given you the raw material to make this phone, taught you how to use it, gave you the manual how to make the phone, and then give you a phone, and then one day your phone gets damaged, am I expecting you to come back to me and ask me, say, sir, please, I need to give me another phone? That's what I'm expecting. I've taught you what to do. Make another one. Make 10. Make 15. Start selling it. There's so many prayers to pray, not necessary. All this kind of prayer. God, please come to my rescue. Come to which rescue? You have everything. Use it. Use it. You are the creator man. Use it. Use it. Tego shunde barando skubandia. Hayakume tangri kuba latishka bambrutuskada. Viangrade kushka teshkuba. Oh, glory to God. Even unbelievers with their natural intelligence, they create things on the earth. I talk of the believer. So they say, this is my eye. They say, I will never use it again. Say, it's now dying. Get another one. Says, why are you saying it like that? Get another one. Say, how? How was the first one made? What made the first one? You have the raw material. Through faith, we see that this whole earth was made by the word of God. So what we do see was made, was not made from this, we do appear. So the thing that framed this earth is the word. And we have the word now. How do you use the word? By faith. So every time I release my faith and I'm speaking the word, I'm creating things. See that, let me tell you what it means. Because I'm going to say something now that if you don't like it, it's fine. But let me tell you what it means. What it means is that if a believer that is well taught, that understands this thing, was standing in Genesis 1, he would have still said, let there be light, and there will be light. He would have still said, let the heavens appear, and it will appear. He would have still said, let you, I get to the point, because the same raw material, the same faith, he unleashed on us. So when you come into a dry land, how do you think everything you see here appeared? You see us just walking here. When, some of you know when we came into this place, because we are leaving this place already. And that's also by faith. Came into here. This was looking very fine. Very fine. I wish, does anybody have those pictures? You have to look for them. I'm going to display them one of these days. Because people may not understand what I mean by looking so fine. This place had nothing. But dry lands are not strange to me. It's not. I'm not new to them. I know them. So what we just did, we began to talk, speak everything into place. If I show you what spiritual hope is going to look like, the class of church is going to be, it will be a model church. If I tell you this in my mind, setting up that building alone, not the building, setting up the hall alone, will cost over 25 million. Just to put things inside. And that is still not big. I like this. They have money. They have faith. What did we do in this block? This hall? I will come in the name of Jesus. This AC will be here. This will be here. This will be here. This. The first service we held in this place, this was the stage. Behind here. How do you remember? Behind here. And where did we stop? Did we get to this pillar? Just roughly here. This was all our members. Now we are doing two services here. Because they can't take us. Are you following me? And one major reason I really want us to leave this place, that if we remain here, this place is a limitation already. You have to know you are here to create. You can get what you want to create. You can get to your business from having 5 goods in your shop. You begin to place what will be. Are you getting the point? No wonder the Lord said something to me. I'm not going to tell you, but I'll tell my wife first, so let's leave it. About this place we are going to now. Because something heavy is going to happen. But let me leave it. I have not put dust in your head. But I have some unthinkable things that used to come to my mind. But you know, look at what I believe. Anything that crosses my mind is possible. I'll say that again. Anything that crosses my mind is possible. He says, sir, anything, I mean anything. Now, and that is the truth about you. Now, I'm not saying you have everything that crosses your mind. I just said it's possible. Sir, how did you come about that? Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask, or so he can exceed what you think. Now, you may not have it. He said he's able to. He can. You may not, except you begin to create it. Are you getting what I'm talking about? The word of God can create anything that crosses my mind. So, and especially things that cross my mind when I'm not planning to think about them. I'm just saying good things are flying through my mind. I take them seriously. My mind is indicting a good matter. I stone it. I stone it. So I don't see things and throw them off. When they come, I keep them. Except it's something I don't like. If I see something I don't like, I'll discard them. I'm the creator. So are you saying even bad thing across your mind is possible? It's possible if you work it out. I get to the point. So what if I say accidents happen to me and my family? It's possible. But that's if you work it out. That's the same way. If you see your family move from here to 10 steps ahead of time, it's actually possible. Exceeding abundantly above all you ask. Not just asking or think. So he's saying God can exceed my imagination. Are you getting me? You're here to create certain things. So in my family, we have only girls. We need a boy. Create a boy. We have only boys. We need a girl. Create a girl. He said, am I God? Which one is create? Create somebody. It's God that gives children, no? Those are statements we make. They sound true. They sound righteous. They sound religious. But you know what it does? It takes responsibility from us and makes us lazy. We don't want to face. I get what I'm saying. It makes us responsible. It's God that gives children. I'm not saying God doesn't give children. But the main thing that God gives that you will not have until you take it. The word for receive in the Greek is the Greek word lambano. It means to take forcefully. That's what it means to receive. So take it. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? It's to take forcefully, to receive. There's another word called, I think, didomi or so. Yes. But this one, lambano, is two C's. So he's saying, you shall receive power. That's what he's saying. And how do you take those things? It's by faith. We can create. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me say that again. The raw material that God used to make everything is his word. How he used his word is faith. He has given us both the raw material and the manual. So this Bible that you carry is not just a book. It's a manual for creating everything you want. So look at it. Learn faith from it. Apply it. You have all the results you want. So in a season in your life where, Lord, we need a house. Create the house. Create the house. Father, Lord, sir, I need shop. Create the shop. We need a car now. At this point in my life, my car is my biggest need. I agree with you too. Create the car. Some people are making it look like it's just very easy. You see, create. How do you even think we got here? How do you even think you came to this church? How do you think you came here? You think it's because you decided to come? We called you and you came. And I'm teaching how it's done. One of the men I mentored me those days, very brutal man. You know, one of his members came to him and was complaining. So we brought he sells power equipment, very heavy stuff, expensive. He said, "These things are not agreeing to sell." He came, he said, "It's been long, they've been here for months." He said, "I've been teaching you, are not learning. So you will learn by force." He said, "I'm going to come to your shop and I'm going to sell those equipment, but have an agreement." He said, "Yes." He said, "If I sell one, the first one I'm going to sell, you're going to give me 50% of the money." He said, "Why?" He said, "So that you can learn." He said, "Oh, fine. Let me just let it just sell." He just came, spoke to all the girls. "You sell so so day. You sell so so day." He said, he left. The thing sold. This is because he's anointed. If he had Nakawa now. Release your faith. So how do you release your faith? By speaking. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. He said, "We having the same spirit of faith." Look at that. "We having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." The spirit of faith is a speaking spirit. He speaks. He speaks. That's why I will tell you, speaking is faith's most consistent and most dominant action. What it means is that if you are not speaking the word, you are not in faith. There is no two ways about it. I'm believing God for it. You are not. "We have in the same spirit of faith. According to the reading, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." So when you hear me say, "We are believing God," told these guys this many times. "But I believe in God for spiritual hope to come." Don't you see that we speak about it every day? I make sure you speak about spiritual hope at least 2 times every week. Have you not observed? When we take offering. Even before we started looking for land, we've been speaking. We are getting our buildings. We are getting our lands. You see? So when it was time to get our land, words have been spoken. Put God on your lips. "I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak." So I can create the kind of marriage I want. I speak. Listen, don't ever claim you are in faith and all of it is in your mind. You are not in faith. Speaking is faith's most consistent and most dominant action. You must talk. You must talk. There is nobody in the Bible that received anything by faith that did not say anything. They spoke. Speak God's will over the matter. And don't speak like it's going to happen someday. Can't you see how we speak? We are getting our building. We are getting. It's not one of these days. One day, one day. You know, any day can be one day, one day. Can be before you die. He got to where there was darkness. He said, "Let there be light." How did he appear in the original? He said, "Light be." Message Bible said he came there and shouted, "Light." That's Genesis 1 verse 3. God spoke light and light appeared. He didn't come here and say, "I know darkness is here, but I believe God. One of these days, light will come." People think that's faith. That's not faith. That's even unbelief. There is doubt inside. One day, one day. One day, one day. We go buy Benz. That's not faith. They've been saying that a very long time now. And the back of your feet is still spilling. Because you've been trekking. I tell you what to do. Go to prayer. Pray. When you pray over the matter, get a word from the Lord. Let God say something to you over the matter. Take that thing that God has said. Begin to say it. You will buy the Benz in a very short time. If that's what God said to you. When God says to me, for instance, God, one of the things the Lord said to me, and I've been declaring that. On Saturday night, I had to pray. I told you I prayed some prayers. I'll talk about it on Sunday. Over a lot of things. And the Lord said, tell the people, I'm going to say, tell you, I'm telling you, but I will tell you on Sunday. tell people I'm going to give them a miracle. There is an opening for miracles for everybody. A financial miracle between now and December. Let me tell you why. Sit down. Let me tell you why it's going to happen. In our turn now. It's going to happen because we are in the heat of a heavy project financially. Funds will flow. Now, I am not wishing it. I heard it from the Lord on Saturday night. This was the same thing I heard the week we bought land. I was praying. The Lord said, I will give you a miracle. Remember I told you that? I will give you. That same week, the land came. I heard that same word, the same vocabulary, the same way. That's why I sang that song on first service on Sunday. He's the Alpha and Omega. God, that's why I can sing that night. And I'm telling you, financial miracles. But let's leave it for Sunday. Now, when I heard that from the Lord, I didn't start saying, one day we'll get a miracle. Which is one day? Today! The reason is this. When God says a thing, God speaks from a point of finality. God doesn't say things because he's planning to do them. He says things because he has done them. You are catching up. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's a miracle. The Lord said, I will give you a miracle. I remember that day. I was praying. That was when the land project has come to the point, the funds was no longer growing. And the land prices were going up. We need the land supernaturally to pay for. Then I will give you a miracle. I said, okay, sir. And I put it on my lips. God has given us a miracle. God is giving us a miracle. I'm saying that. And God gave us a miracle. Speak now. How does faith speak? Romans 4:17. I wish we had time. But God got a teaching of faith. How does he speak? He called those things. As it is written, I've made a part of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not, as though they were. So faith doesn't say one day. He said those things that be not, he called them as though they were. So you don't say, I'm going to get car one day. You say, God is giving me my car even now. So you hear me say, like, I receive my car. I receive the land. I receive the job. I receive the promotion. I receive the souls. I receive the increase. I receive the breakthrough. I'm receiving it now. Yeah. That's how we speak. Now somebody's going to ask me, how are you sure this is saying will work? Let me tell you why faith cannot fail. Faith would have failed. Faith would have been foolish if we were acting on nothing. If you act on nothing, it will fail. I've told you there's nothing on earth that was built on nothing. Are you aware? Nothing. Everything has raw material. That's why science is confused. Hallelujah. But no, we are not actually acting on nothing. If you act on nothing, it will fail. So faith works because it is based on the word. So that's why we don't just begin to say, I like that shoe, I'm receiving the shoe. I like that hair, I'm receiving the hair. It's not going to work. Because you're acting on nothing. Or maybe you're acting on covetousness and greed. What is faith? That I saw in the Bible that the Lord promised me this. And it got lighted up in my spirit. So I'm acting on it because he said. Not because I want it. Even though I want it. But because he said. So what if he doesn't say anything? Take your matter to God in prayer. Pray until you find the light. Once he shows you that light and makes you the promise, he may go. Come out with it. Start saying it everywhere you are going to. Declare it. Wake up in the morning, call it forth. Go to sleep at night, call it forth. When I'm saying we're going to have a very fine building, it is not because I'm just covetous, I want to have the finest building. It's because in my prayer, God has shown me those pictures. So when we get into the land, I'll keep speaking them until all of them show up. I've seen it. What have you seen? What have you seen about the future? What have you seen about your business? What have you seen? God gave us his very faith. His own faith. It can never fail. Even if faith fails, God's faith will not fail. And it is His faith that we have. Keep speaking. Speak confidently. Speak with conviction. Speak consistently. It is a king speaking. A king doesn't just say a thing, and if it doesn't work, he says, well. If a king gives a decree, you don't do it. He says, who is that person turning down my decree? That's how kings talk. There are people that don't know how to do this speaking thing. Say, I'm getting this. I mean, didn't get you, move away. What? That's a king talking. Does a king give decree and you flaunt it? He will show you that he's a king. If the governor says nobody should come out tomorrow, a governor that knows his work, and you come out tomorrow, he will show you that he's the governor. He will speak again. So when you speak once, I don't sheep, you speak again. You speak. You are not speaking from a point of begging. You are giving decrees. Why are you giving decree? Because God has said. You are just re-echoing what He said. So that when, even when you are taking faith action, all this way we are taking faith action. Faith action is not an, it's not an attempt to make God to do anything. Faith action is that God inspires an action in your heart. By that action, what are you doing? You are walking into what God has promised you. Not that you are trying to get you to do anything. When the Lord told us about the supernatural hope and the land, what was the first thing I did? I came here. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to do a full faith teaching later with this process. Because why am I doing that? Every time God gives you a miracle, study the process. It's the formula. If you study the process, repeat it, it will work again. Came here, announced it to you guys. We rejoiced about it. I announced it a few times. We began to say it. Then when the time came, I said, fine. Oh yeah. Who are the real estate people? Go and begin to search for land. By then when I sent them out, we did have up to 1 million. But go and search. That was the faith action. I can see the point. We are not looking for a land that we are looking for the land God has promised us. So we're just looking for it. Now, there was no one that thought that God will need to take faith action. As you are speaking, be taking the action. The action is not going to make God do it. You are looking for what God has promised you. You are stepping into it. Stepping into it. Or that you are praying, speaking over your health in the name of Jesus. My health. And the Lord says, start jumping. Start jumping. As you are jumping into what God has promised. Start jumping. Start jumping. And if your health is bad yet, start jumping. If your health is bad by any means, start jumping. Healing is coming. Start jumping. As you're jumping, that sickness is flying out. Start jumping. I just heard from the Lord. If your health is bad by any means, start doing a jump in the Holy Ghost. Start doing a jump in the Holy Ghost. Start all over. Start doing a jump in the Holy Ghost. Yes. And your healing has come. Yes. Say something. What has God shown you? What have you been saying? I've taught you many times. When Jesus rose from the dead, those women came to the tomb to look for him. And that's one of the one beautiful place where we teach faith and confession, to see that Jesus even practiced it. They came to look for him in the tomb, and the angel told them, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for Jesus. That's Matthew 28, I think verse 5 or so. He said, I'm looking for Jesus. He said, I know you are seeking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He said, he's not here. Yes. Verse 5. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. Verse 6, he now told them, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. So Jesus rose, as he said. So Jesus all his life was telling them he will rise. He has been, he's not here, he has risen, as he said. So what is it that will happen in your life tomorrow? And we say, hey, she has gotten that thing, like she said. Is there anything you are saying? Words are seeds. You are sowing them into your tomorrow. Those people that have done with school, just graduated, some of you graduated recently. A new phase of your life just starts. What are you sowing into that new phase? What are you sowing into your NYSC days? What are you sowing into your law school days? What are you sowing into life after law school? What are you sowing? What kind of companies? What are you saying? What are you sowing into? Because that's how it works. You keep talking. What are you doing? You are creating. It is, how David put it, as you make your bed, so shall I lie on it. So begin to make your bed now. How do you make your bed? With your words. With your words. That's why I said, don't ask God to do what He has asked you to do. So, you see why I said, most of these prayers to pray. All this beggarly kind of prayer. God, where are you? Come to my rescue. Come to my aid. He gave you the words. Gave you the faith. You are still praying like an ignorant person. See, imagine the frustration that heaven feels when believers pray certain kind of prayers. Remember that illustration, right? I've given you phone. So I come to you, give you a brand new iPhone 17, the new one now. And then when I gave you the new iPhone 17, I say, I have something else for you. These are all the raw materials used in making this iPhone. Furthermore, I will teach you, this is the manual for production. And this is the license, you are free to make it. So, 2 months after, something happens to iPhone 17. Do you think I expect it to come back to me to ask me for another iPhone? I expect it to make another one. So when your ear spoils, create another one. When your eye fails, create another one. Is someone following me this evening? When your business is not working, create another one. When one customer leaves, create another customer. So how? Call customers to come. Jesus on earth, He said, all that the Father has given to me shall come to me. And I believe that every God ordained ministry, the people God has given those people. So I prayed. That's why I said you came here because of that reason. I used to pray. All the Father has given me in this land will come to me. Recently I was praying. The Lord said, you have a portion in this land. And I've been praying. We are taking our portion in this land. Yes. A portion of the men. A portion of the resources. A portion of the flow in this land. Are you getting the point? Yes. So you can begin to say, Father, you inspired me to start this business. It means there are people you've kept to patronize me. Let them find me now. I call them forth to find me now. How many of you will close your biggest deals in this year? Your biggest deals so far. This year. Between now and December. If I, by this, between now and November. Yes. That's how we create. Christianity is not magic. We see how we do it. You try it, it works. So when I've been trying this thing for long, just keep saying it. Keep trying to create. The Bible talks about Hebrews 6 verse 12 that we should be followers of men who through faith and patience inherit the promise. That patience means that you repeatedly do the same thing. Why do you need patience sometimes? Well, sorry for another day. I'm not getting to all of that. We need patience sometimes because, you know, sometimes you are growing. Sometimes you don't even understand everything. But I've taught you this before. If you, it's like, thank you. Look how the Lord explained it to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is there anything you tell, Abby? Can you remember the first gown that you made? Huh? Do you remember? You can. Who remembers the first? You know that tailor? The first gown you made. First sketching. How long did it take? Two days. To cut or to make? Okay. Beautiful. 2 days. If you want to make a sketch, now how long will it take you now? Huh? 1 or 2 hours. But the other one took you 2 days. Is there any baker here? Why am I walking away? What are you saying? Remember your first cake? Did it turn out well? It was disastrous. Well, she's one of the best bakers in Enugu currently now. Now, it's not just that I'm saying it. If you eat, we believe. But the first one was disastrous. Okay. How long did it take to make that disaster? 24 hours to produce disaster. But so, if you want to make cake, now how long will it take you? 1 hour. I forget what I'm saying. This is why sometimes when I'm trying to work something out by faith, it could take time. Nothing is wrong with cake. Nothing is wrong with clothes. Nothing is just wrong with you. You're just learning. So when you can be fitting a car, it might take you 6 years to fit one. But once you break through that one, the next one will take you 2 years. Next one, 6 months. It will get to a time in 1 week. My pastor said when he finally got his first car, in that 2 years, he got a gift of 4 cars. Yes. Because once you cut through the thing, you've mastered it. Are you guys following me, friends? So because you've been waiting and it's not coming, keep speaking. You are learning how to make the cake. You might produce a disaster for the first one like Chimwanha did. But it's not a problem if you try again with time in 1 hour. You are the creator man. Keep creating. Keep creating. And that's how it works. Now, if we want to trust God for a hall now, not like building. If we want to trust God for a hall as a church, now, is that one now prayer point? We can get a hall done in 1 week. If I announce we need a hall now, by next week we'll have it. Before we got this hall, it took us like 3 months or more. I get to the point. But we didn't stop. We didn't confess to a point and say, we know they. We need about 2 or something million to pay for this all. It took us everything. It took our future faith. I get to the point. But think of if what you are looking for since January is 2 million. One of you will just get angry and give it to me. Say, what kind of rubbish is that one? Why we every time I hear 2 million, 2 million? Somebody just vex. And I'm not joking, I know people that will. But there was a time where we had to gather the whole church for a secret meeting. If you learn how to create it, the next one gets easier. So skip. Now it's just more pain. You've been saying, I've been commanding it to go, it's not going. Just keep doing it. Who through faith and patience. Once you learn the creation technique, next time when it shows up, you know what to do. Can I say to you, the Lord said that you said to you, if you beat any sickness once, you can beat it 10 times. So don't be afraid. I beat it, it came back. Beat it again. If you go to beat it again, you did it once, you can beat it 10 times. And can I say to you, if you've ever handled financial challenges, if you've ever won through any financial challenge, you can win through it 10 times. If it shows up in any form, you will win it again. Especially if you want it by faith. Because you know what to do the first time. Repeat the process, it will bow. This time is even easier. If you ever beat joblessness and you don't have a job now, you will beat it again. You beat it again. You beat it again. We have the raw material. And the more we are creating, we are learning. The more we are sewing, we are learning. With that, we can just sew the clothes in like 30 minutes. So fashion designers now, how they make clothes is by Saturday night, they say, what am I going to wear Sunday? And they run into their wardrobe, back, 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 and they sew. Some of them, to make the first disaster they made. Some of them, the first clothes they made was disastrous. When they make it, they start explaining it to you. They say, this one is bigger than this. No, it's because when I was cutting it, you know, I put, it's okay. But you keep creating. Can I say to you, faith doesn't fail. Even if it fails, the faith of God will not fail. And it's the exact faith of God that you have. So, reign in life. Reign in this life. Reign in this life. Reign in this life. Say, I reign. In this life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I think I'll just close. I've been blessed. If there is, just give just praise. I don't have time to start praying with you. But just take this in soul. Give him praise. Give him praise. Woo! I see creator men. Woo! Bashande le koyadash. If there is anything that you need to think needs adjusting, or let's start adjusting now. Many of you will go home and face some things tonight. Talk to it until it adjusts. Take that word God has spoken to you. Begin to create with it. By faith, we understand that this whole world was formed by the word of God. And the things which we see, we are not made from things which do appear. In other words, they were made by the word of God. So the raw material that made your eyes is with you. create a new one. The raw material that made your leg is with you. Make a new one. The raw material that created the first job is with you. Create a new one. The raw material that made land is with you. Create it. Kabarate shondo robo de zimbra de kaya. Create the admission. Create the job. Create the souls. Create the building. Create the land. The car. The event. Use your words. Form it. Katatizo. That's the word in the Greek. This is the faith of God. It's not your faith. Your faith can fail, but the faith of God will not fail. And He gave us that faith. He gave us that faith. He gave us that faith. Pray. In Him we live. Keep praying. In Him we move. In Him we dwell. And have our being. We are one with Christ. And He's one with us. We are one spirit. Inseparable. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we dwell. And have our being. We are one with Christ. Listen, you have to speak confidently. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Mayande Shuna. Your job is waiting. The doors are waiting to open. Baba kombere ba kembere ba tumbre de kimbre de kembre de kaya. New body parts are being supplied. New eyes are being supplied. New organs are being supplied. Iyakama shanda la baranta la bayadash. Hey, baba, baba, raba, daba. Inside me, oh. Yahweh is inside me. Inside me, oh. Yahweh is inside me. Inside me, oh, Yahweh is inside me. Inside me, oh, Jehovah is inside me. Ayaba. Inside me, oh, glory is inside me, oh. He's inside me. Oh, faith is inside me. Ashagabarada. Inside me. Oh, Yahweh is inside me. Oh, Ekabayandash. Inside me. Oh, Yahweh is inside me. Hey, Yahweh is inside me. Oh, Yahweh is inside me. Oh, Yahweh is inside me. Oh, Ayaba. Yahweh is inside me. Oh, Yahweh is inside me. Hey, Kakeme de Koko Bashanda. The contract that which has been seized for long, it has been seized for long, is now being released. Create it, release it. It's now being released. What they put a full stop on, God is saying it continues. God is saying it's not over, it continues. I still have my plans, it's not over, it continues. Higher! Hey, Abaladosh! Speak over that marriage. Speak over that job. Speak over your children. Speak over your finance. Speak over your health. Speak over the job. Talk! Say what God has said. Say what God has said. And insist until you see it happen. You have 3 more minutes. Use it and pray. Use it and pray.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.